My message today, it's about an hour and 45 minutes. I'm just kidding. It's actually a very short message today. But I want to do something special since this is our last service of the year. And we've got a special video at the end of the service that I think will bless you. The title of this message today is called Magnify the Lord. And as we end this year, I want to encourage everyone to take some time and look back upon the year and to thank God for the things that He has done. I realize that for some of you, this may bring bittersweet reflections. I realize that. And while thanking the Lord, there are strong feelings of pain and loss. There is regret and perhaps emotional or physical suffering that has occurred. And it is hard to move out from the weight of underneath those things. But I want to encourage us all to reach deep and magnify the Lord, looking back on His goodness, His faithfulness, and His steadfast presence even in the storms. Psalm 34, 1 through 3 says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. And then in Psalm 86, 12, it reads, I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore. In many places throughout the Bible, the word magnify is the same word translated glorify. Therefore, magnify and glorify, as when you read it in your Bibles, can often be used interchangeably, essentially meaning the same thing. Magnify, like the name implies, means to make bigger. Thus, glorify carries with it the same idea, to make bigger. And when we glorify God, we are making Him bigger than all things. So, if I was to say, okay, magnify the Lord, you would probably stare back at me like deer in the headlights, just like, so how do I do it? Well, that's what I'm going to share with you this morning. How exactly do we glorify and magnify Him? Well, Psalm 69, verse 30, gives us a clue. The psalmist writes, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify Him. And then he tells us right after that how we do it. With thanksgiving. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. There it is. One of the best ways that we can magnify and glorify the Lord is to thank Him. Thanksgiving in this verse is a perpetual thanking. It's not just once a year on November 23rd. It's a perpetual thanking, i.e. all the time, in all situations. Now for many of us, this is where magnifying the Lord really takes some effort and practice. All of us face hard circumstances and situations and storms and loss and suffering. But for those who are disciples of Jesus, raise your hand if you're a disciple of Jesus this morning. There's a lot of us. It is what we magnify that can make all the difference in our outlook during these trials. So a magnifying glass is a common everyday example of making something bigger, thus magnifying it. So think of observing an ant through a magnifying glass. It looks big and scary, but in reality it is so small. But this is what we can tend to do in certain situations and trials. We magnify the wrong thing. What I mean is in every situation we need to consider what or who it is that we are magnifying. What is it that we are making bigger? Is it God and His Word? or the giant we're facing? David, there's a story of David and Goliath. Goliath had been mocking the Israel armies and people for 40 days. If you're familiar with the story, there might be someone here that not, but you just kind of heard David and Goliath. Goliath stood approximately 9 feet, 9 inches tall. He was a big guy. He was part of the Anakim. It was a descendant, it was a race of giants that descended from the Nephilim. The early pages of Genesis speak about the Nephilim. But here is a little summation of when David went out to face the giant. In 1 Samuel 17. In fact, well, if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn there this morning. It's in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Lord, we pray for whoever is needing emergency rescue and first responders this morning. God, surround them with your angels. 1 Samuel 17, beginning in verse 40. So this, when it says, then he took his staff, they're talking about David preparing to go out and face the giant. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine, talking about the giant Goliath. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him, talking about Goliath had someone, his shield was so big, he had to have a special guy to carry the shield for him. So his shield bearer went in front of Goliath. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. That is, he mocked him. For he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. That kind of makes me laugh a little bit. He's ruddy, but he's good-looking. You know, it just kind of always cracks me up when I read that. They had to put that in the Bible. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? That's what David's staff looked like to the giant. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Most of us, if that was us, our knees would be knocking at this point. Verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, you came to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. One of the great stories of the Bible, one of the reasons I wanted you to turn there and look at this so you can read it on your own, read the entirety of the passage of chapter 17. So when David fought Goliath, a literal giant, David didn't get fixated on Goliath's bronze spear, his formidable stature, his brass body armor and his brass helmet, or his threats. David magnified God. My God is bigger than even you, and you're about to find out just how big he is what David told Goliath. We all know how that story ended, with one sling of his stone right in the middle of his forehead. Then David went over and took his sword and gave him a haircut, all the way down to the neck. All of us face giants sooner or later. And when we do, who or what is it that we will magnify? The giant or God? When the doctor gives you news that you don't want to hear, is the news bigger or is God bigger? And when bad news of any kind comes your way, who do you glorify in that moment? Do you glorify fear or do you glorify God? When anxiety or worry strike, what is it that is causing the anxiety or worry? Are we magnifying that thing bigger than God, or are we going to magnify God and His Word, what He says about anxiety and worry? If you're sitting here today, God has brought you through another year. Looking back on the storms that you went through, can you see God in it? If not, then look a little harder because He is there. And then find a way to thank Him. This is not to minimize the pain or even say that the experience was not real. We look for God because thanking Him is the way out of our pain. When we can thank God for even the hard stuff, His tender mercies bring healing. For others, perhaps this year has been your best year ever. So do not forget to thank God. Write down what He has done and share it with others so that you can lift them up. Good news always makes people feel better. And when you give Him thanks, it magnifies and glorifies Him. Here's just a small handful of Thanksgiving verses found in the Bible. There are hundreds of them. The psalmist writes in Psalm 116:17, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's a sacrifice because we're going to talk about here in a moment, it doesn't always come easy. And I will call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 50:23, He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. Psalm 138:1, I will give you thanks with all my heart, and I will sing praises to you before the gods. Psalm 136:1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And his love endures forever. This verse repeats a message of Psalm 107, emphasizing that the Lord is good and his love endures forever for us. And we are reminded, when we say the Lord's love endures forever, we are reminded of God's unchanging character. God never changes. And his constant love. These verses that we just read serve as a reminder that gratitude should be a continuous response to God's goodness. No matter what we may face, His love remains steadfast, giving us reason upon reason to express our thanks and our praise. So let me ask you this morning, what is the giant that you're facing today? What is the mountain that has risen up before you? You can magnify the Lord and make Him and His Word bigger than any problem. Or you can magnify the problem. I want to encourage you to choose God. To magnify Him by praising Him and thanking Him. Now, we need to make some effort in doing this. It's called intentionality. We have to be intentional about being thankful because it doesn't come naturally to us. The reason it doesn't is because it involves humility. And humility is the antithesis to pride. And pride is our arch enemy of all of us. Humility is the understanding that you didn't accomplish something on your own. I could ask this morning, who accomplished some things this year? Probably raise your hand, and my response would be, you didn't do it on your own. You didn't do it on your own. God enabled His grace to pour through and to you. And this is why so many people do not express gratitude these days. It is because of pride. It is also a sign that Jesus is coming back soon. Did you know that? Paul said in the last days in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Read this verse along with me. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Let's stop there for just a second. How many of you do not see this in our day and age, in our culture? Any of those things we just listed? Let's go on. Disobedient to parents. Here's the one we underline. Unthankful. Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving. Slanderers without self-control. Brutal. Despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. Who thinks that these things aren't epidemic in our culture, in our society? Endemic as well. So right in the middle of all these things, there is that word, unthankful. And it is a sign, along with these others, that Jesus is coming soon. Every time you're tempted to gripe and complain about a problem, don't. I challenge you, don't. Ask your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your parents or your kids especially. Help them to point out when you're complaining and griping, and then don't. I guarantee you, kids will see it. They'll see it. Instead, enter into God's presence and spend 10 minutes thanking Him for His goodness. So when you're tempted to complain, thank Him. Just begin to thank Him for things. And if you will, you'll find that the natural desire to complain will cease and the problem will shrink as you begin to see it in the proper perspective. I want to spend some time this morning thanking God for this past year. I just want maybe three or four people, don't be shy here, this blesses everybody, to just say, I want to thank the Lord for something, and then tell us what it is you want to thank the Lord for. Let's do that now. Shirley. For those of you who don't know the backstory on her praise, Shirley lost her husband this year as a member of this church. Thank you, Shirley. Another testimony. Yeah, Buck. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's get another one. Yes. Yeah. Can you stand up for us? Can you stand up? Thank you. No, it's good. You're pretty. We like to look at you. Praise the Lord.
And I'm healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And another blessing. I came last Sunday and Lillian Brewer gave me a little gift. And I took it home before I opened it up. And I cried for about 20 minutes afterwards. There was a little nativity that she had made. And she had made the card to go with it. And the kids that we have in our Sunday school and our
That's right, they are.
I know that. I know it without a shadow of a doubt. And that you are moving up. You're coming into the worship, and that's wonderful. And you're growing up to be a fine young
man. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you. So now I'm going to ask that we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to ask that you gather into groups of four or five people. You can bring in six or seven if you need to, okay, but four or five people. And you're just going to go around the circle, and each person is going to give thanks just for something God has done in your life this year. And then after everybody has given thanks, just one person from there say a prayer, like, God, you've seen the gratitude of our hearts. We pray that you would go with us now and give us another amazing year. Just a simple prayer like that. Those have to be the words, but a simple prayer, not long and stuff like that, because we got a video I want to show you right after that. So if we can go ahead and do that, Kelly, if you could put on just a little music while we do it. Groups of four or five, for just a minute, go around and each person give thanks for what God has done.